Bonner Group does a lot of research, particularly focusing on the church world, and comes up with some pretty interesting things. Tends to be conservative oriented, but some of the information doesn't have a conservative or liberal slant or anything like that. Basically just does the research and gives us the information. And I think this may be one of those times when the information is information we can use regardless of where the person is, where the church is from a political standpoint. He talks about models that the church is using. I'd like for you to hear this conversation, courtesy of the Bonner Group, and with George Bonner, the group, the founder, I should say, being the one being interviewed and providing the information. I think you'll find this interesting. I hope so, because I think that as time goes on, and especially as things get tougher, 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 and there's a greater and greater pull to try to get people who really are connected with Christ to leave Christ, we're going to have to make sure that as the church, we're doing what really matters. As you hear this discussion, you'll see what I'm talking about. Here we go.
A few questions.
Do you have a few moments to take a survey?
Everyone wants to know what you think. Polls and the statistics extracted from them are central to the art of persuasion, and everyone from marketers to politicians to pundits use them to their advantage. But there's another role stats can play, according to the Barna Group, and that's using information to facilitate moral and spiritual change. Probably not the goal of your average statistician, but the organization isn't your average research firm. Established by former advertising executive George Barna, it has been one of the few focusing on analysis of American culture as it relates to faith. Now more than 40 books, thousands of surveys, and 25 years later, Barna has been dubbed the most quoted person in the Christian church today. He was in Toronto recently, and I had the chance to sit down with him.
You are one of the few market researchers that focus pretty in depth on faith in the U.S., but you're so much more than a statistician. Tell me what you hope to accomplish through the Barna Group.
Well, really the purpose of what we do is not just to gather and sell information, it's to provide insight that will enable people to learn more about themselves, learn more about how faith can transform their life so that they really maximize their life. Our perspective is that God didn't put us down here just to suffer. There's some degree of suffering in our life, yes, and that's good sometimes, but really we are called to be Christ-like. And you can't do that if you don't understand yourself, you don't understand your environment, you don't understand the pressures that you're facing and that impact the kinds of choices you make.
I've looked at your research and it's not really that positive. You're not always there, you know, with a like, way to go, gang, kind of message. Do you feel like one of your roles is to kind of sound the alarm?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because so many people will read the information, they'll say pretty much what you've said, which is, you know, it's kind of negative, George. And I don't see it as being pessimistic or optimistic. I think what we try to be is realistic. Mm-hmm. And kind of the key theme that we operate by is you don't have to like this, you just have to deal with it. This is the way it is, you don't like the way it is, let's change it. You don't like the way your life is going, let's change it. I'd written a book years ago called The Frog in the Kettle and talked about how in many ways the church is kind of like the frog in that kettle. In that we're in this culture, and the culture is changing around us in many ways imperceptibly, day after day after day. But if you take the long-term view over a 10-year period of time, you see, oh my gosh, things have changed radically. Why didn't we understand that? Why didn't we do something about that? Why aren't we different than we were 10 years ago? The world has certainly changed. Why haven't we?
Well, I think that's interesting because you mentioned the frog in the kettle and how, you know, the church sometimes doesn't change with the times. In your research, are you finding, is the church relevant to culture?
That's a hard one. You know, mostly because when you say the church, there's so many facets to the church. We find that everywhere in the world where we're studying what's going on, and really we do most of our research in the United States, but even in some of the other places that we've had some access to what's going on, we find that there are great things happening everywhere. If you think of the church as being individuals who want to be Christ-like and are doing everything they can to fulfill that, yeah, the church is always relevant. It can't not be relevant. But if we talk about the church as the institution, the structures, the organizations that have all been set up, that's where it starts to get bogged down. We begin to lose track of who we are, where we're going, how we're going to get there, what success is. I'll give you a great example. One of my mantras in life, so to speak, is you get what you measure. And one of the things that we discovered as we studied Christian churches in the United States, we interviewed a few thousand pastors and asked them all kinds of questions. One of those was, is your church successful? And an overwhelming majority of them said, well, yes. And so the follow-up question was, great, how do you measure success? And we found that across the country, there are five dominant measures that are used in churches to determine whether or not the church is successful. Mm. Attendance, do we have more people attending this week than we had last week? Budget, are we raising the amount of money we said that we needed to do all the stuff we're trying to do? Programs, do we have more programs going on now than we had last year? Staff, have we hired more staff than we had last year? And square footage, how much of the property have we built out? Do we have more and more facilities for people to utilize? Now those are all wonderful things. But it occurred to me there's only one problem with those five measures, and that's that Jesus didn't die for any of those. Mm-hmm. He didn't die to put butts in the seats. He didn't die to, have money thrown in the plates so that we could erect more buildings. None of that has anything to do with his agenda. So, if we begin to measure things using the right metrics, I think that helps us get a better grip on whether or not the church is relevant. When we're focused on the things that were at the heart of where Jesus was at, that's when we're relevant. We can't not be relevant at that point in time. But when we start adopting the world's philosophy of what success is and what purpose is, that's when we really lose our way.
Mm. And you talk a lot about leadership, and you survey a lot of pastors about leadership. It's really interesting, one of your recent surveys found that most pastors don't feel like they're effective leaders. What is that all about?
Well, yeah, that's a long discussion. But in essence, the keys to that discussion would be, first of all, we know that most pastors are not leaders. They're good people, but they haven't been called by God to lead. Now, they've been called to ministry, but most of them, even by their own admission, aren't gifted in the area of leadership. They're gifted in the area of preaching or teaching, and that's what they've been called to do. That's what they're great at. That's what they love to do. That's where they get the greatest resonance with the people that they're ministering to. But the problem is the model that we have for the church, which we created about 500 or 600 years ago. It's not scriptural. We kind of made it up. You look at that model, and it dictates that if you want to use that gift of teaching or preaching, the only way you get to do it is by being the leader. Mm-hmm. And so we've confused the fact that leadership and teaching are two very different gifts, two different ways of thinking, two different heart sets, two different ways of relating to people, different kinds of objectives. But the only way that you get that platform, you get that microphone, that opportunity to teach, you have to become the leader.
What do y'all think about that? You have to be the leader in order to be a teacher or preacher, in order to have the opportunity to do so. What are your thoughts about that? We'll hear some more about that at a later date. When we come back, though, I'd like for us to look into something else that's of interest, particularly if you're wanting to reach millennials. We're going to look at what Pew Research says about millennials, and specifically Black millennials and their relation to religion.